and welcome to the Icelandic Roundup. My name is Valur Grettisson. I'm in the editor-in-chief at Reykjavik Grapevine. And with me is my trusty, the cultural editor, slash Scottish, slash genius, slash... what more good can I say?
You're on thin ice here, buddy. My name is Josie Ann. I am the culture editor at Reykjavik Grapevine. Hello.
We're here with a special guest, but before we get there, we want to talk to you about Lava Center. A lot of lava going on in Iceland at this moment. Lava Center is, of course, a tech museum in Hvolsvöllur in the south of Iceland. I know nobody understands when I say this, Hvolsvöllur.
That's why I never say it.
Right. But it's next to Hella, if that helps.
But so, it's a brilliant museum, and we're really grateful for their sponsorship for this episode. So you should definitely check them out.
Yes. And we have a fantastic guest. We're going full culture today. I'm very happy about this. Mm-hmm. With us is Laufey. She is a singer, up and coming. Well, in Iceland, she's already a star, I think. But she has had some incredible success in international. Welcome to us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Thanks. Back in my hometown.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Laufey. And we're saying just Laufey, obviously not just Laufey, but Icelanders might know you as Laufey Lín.
Yeah.
But you're artist name is Laufey.
That's
what you're going by now.
Yes, it is a little bit confusing. I mean, obviously Laufey is a pretty common name in Iceland, so mm-hmm. I always went by Laufey Lín before, because yes. Lín is my middle name. But then upon starting my project in overseas, mm-hmm. I just decided to go with the mononym Laufey, mm-hmm. assuming that it was already difficult enough for most foreigners, but and Icelanders still remember me as Laufey Lín, so it's like, I keep on seeing my name everywhere here, it's just Laufey Lín, and my manager's like, oh no, like, where did that name come from?
But as you say, you're international audiences and having your name Laufey is a little bit easier to understand, but this is partially, you're now based overseas, you're based in America for the main part, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was actually kind of a funny experience because I moved to the States to go to college in 2018, mm-hmm. and then I just stayed there and started my artist project there. So this whole kind of journey of becoming Laufey the artist, like with my own original music and whatnot, has very much been based overseas, and I kind of had the experience of like bringing it home to Iceland,
yeah.
which is I always thought that I would like, you know, try to break Iceland kind of and then go out,
right.
go overseas,
yeah,
and
yeah.
now I've had like the funny experience of like coming back and being like, hey, like I made this music abroad, and like I hope you enjoy it here too. It's very funny, but also very special.
And your role there is interesting. You basically blow up on social media, right? I mean, like YouTube, TikTok, right? Or like
you have to explain these things very.
I am 80 years old, and
there's you know different generation.
And it's just interesting to see you went quite high, and of course the world noticed. Like, how did you start this? Yeah, just tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I mean, it started during the pandemic, for sure. I was just a student in Boston at Berklee College of Music, and we all had to go home because of COVID, and my parents were living in Washington, D.C. at the time. So I just looked at, like, the next few weeks, and I just saw this, like, hole of time, and I was like, well, I need to like make something of this. So I just told myself I'm going to really work on writing music and mm-hmm. and just like posting stuff online. I kind of did it at first because I was, you know, finding something to do, something productive, somewhere to display my work, and then it kind of turned into something way bigger than expected, and it just started growing really, really fast on Instagram. It started, and then TikTok as well, and then, you know, all the other social media, and it was a perfect storm, because I released my first song, like, the first week that I started, like, posting a lot on Instagram.
Right.
And it was just, yeah, it was like a perfect storm. It all came at the same time, and the social media obviously like helped with like the song release and
mm-hmm.
and vice versa, and then yeah. It was really magical.
Were you working with a label at this point, or was this just all self-released?
No. This was I had no clue what I was doing. I had a song and I had like, you know, a love for being on the internet.
So this wasn't part of a strategy or anything. This is just you literally
a lot of people bored at home during the pandemic needing something to do, and I was just very lucky that I became the something to do.
Well, I don't think you're giving yourself full credit for your remarkable songwriting and musical abilities as well.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your past, perhaps. Like you grew up in Iceland you've been in music, and what kind of music? And I mean, for Iceland is very, I don't know if people have noticed this, but it's very white also. It's like, it's not many people that are, today it's changed very much, of course.
It is changing, but it's a different context to grow up in, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, you come from like classical background and you're half Chinese also, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I had a very international upbringing because my mother is Chinese, and then my father is Icelandic. He grew up partially in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then I grew up also partially in the States. So I grew up moving back and forth from Washington, D.C. to Iceland. Mm-hmm. I was born in Iceland, though, and spent, like, the bulk of my childhood here.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel very, very Icelandic, but it was definitely a very interesting experience. I definitely experienced being a little bit of a foreigner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mostly due to coming from elementary school in the States and coming back here.
Yeah, yeah.
Also from being half Chinese and just looking a little bit different. But yeah, Iceland can be a little bit difficult of a place, I think, if you don't speak the language perfectly or you know, look very much like everyone else. And I think it's every single time I come back now, the community does look more diverse, I will say, is really, really exciting.
Yeah.
I definitely experienced being a little bit, I felt very loud. I felt like my presence was very, very loud. Also being a performer, so my mother is a classical musician. She's in the Iceland Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing classical music from a very young age. Started playing piano when I was 4. And cello when I was 8. And that was just like my entire life was just music. And I definitely felt like my presence was a little bit exaggerated and loud for the community around me.
Yeah.
So I kind of made it my goal like this entire time to get out of Iceland and you know, study music somewhere else.
Yeah.
And
not only that, you also, you have a twin sister.
I do.
This is also a lot in your life, of course, still, right?
Yeah, definitely. She is. She's playing a lot. She plays a lot on my recordings, and she's featured in like almost every single song on my next album.
Yeah, I was going to ask about this because, as well as your sister, there's actually a track in the album where your mother is. The three of you are all, all performing on one track.
Yeah.
I mean, how important was it for you to have like your family kind of involved in making the music that you make now?
Oh, so important. I mean, I owe like everything to my family, and especially like to my mother, who really just taught me everything, so much that I know about music.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, because in that track, it's called Everything I Know About Love, it's the title track for the album, it's I wanted to mix in like elements of classical music, so it starts on this like Bach air in G, and it was played at my grandfather's memorial service. So it's like kind of my ode to my grandfather, who I've been very inspired by growing up. He was a violin professor in China.
Okay.
So it was just really important to me to get everyone on there, and then also just to introduce that music to like my generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perhaps the other thing, I wouldn't say it's odd, but it's perhaps not as traditional as you can see the mainstream music. You decided to go into jazz music in the time of crossing pop music. It's like, why did you take that route? And was it something that you always wanted to do?
Yeah, it definitely was. I was a very odd kid growing up. I love pop music, but I always had a very low voice. Yeah. This was a part of me feeling like I was like a little bit of an outcast. Like I felt so like when I sang, like compared to like my peers, like I had a really low voice. And when I was like 12, that was very odd. I feel like I've kind of grown into it now. Yeah. But when I was young, like my voice wasn't too different from this. Like it was very like deep and like kind of very, yeah, like low for a young girl. And I kind of heard a bit of myself in these old jazz singers, like Ella Fitzgerald and whatnot. I'm not going to go so far as to say that I sounded like them, but, you know, at least the register was more similar. Sure. And also being a cellist, it kind of sounded more similar. And I, growing up, like, the only movies I would watch were, like, these, you know, these old Hollywood studio films, like Singing in the Rain and My Fair Lady and Oklahoma, American in Paris, like these very, you know, these musical films. And that's where all these jazz standards come from.
Yeah,
and it seemed like this halfway world between classical music and modern music that just seemed so romantic and beautiful to me. And I just became obsessed with it. I just wanted to bring it back.
And where did this come from in your life? Because obviously you're coming from a very like classical context at home. Like how did you even end up hearing about these sorts of movies or this music? How did that get introduced to you?
Oh, my father.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Icelander. My father's like, I'm the Icelander, I know.
Yeah, romantic. Yeah,
exactly, I know. Hard on the outside, soft on the inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, he just loved those films growing up, so like old films, so he'd like show them to me and my sister, and then he also loved jazz music, so he had like a very extensive collection of jazz music records, and we just play them in the house growing up, so that's just like the sound that I grew up listening to.
What beautiful image.
Yeah,
so
very
lovely.
Beautiful. But I want to go into pop culture though. The Jimmy Kimmel Show. That was perhaps the biggest introduction of your name into Icelandic media at the time and to the audience. Like, how did it happen that you played in Jimmy Kimmel's show?
Well, yeah, I mean, crazy experience. I truly can't believe I got to do that. I really, really can't. I mean, I think the booking agent on the show heard my music and... And I think I was actually supposed to be booked 3 or 4 weeks after the time that I did play.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
But yeah, so, and I didn't know yet, and my manager hadn't told me, but the band that was supposed to play tested positive for COVID. So they called me, my manager called me, like, the night before the morning I recorded it. I was like, this is really bizarre. But the band that's supposed to play Jimmy Kimmel tomorrow, like, they're testing positive for COVID. And tomorrow at 6 a.m., they're going to take another test. And if they test positive, you're on. And if they're negative, you'll go on in, like, 3 weeks.
So, like, no notice at all.
No notice at all. This is what I like to say. This was my, like, Hollywood dream story, right? So I was like, all right. And they were like, yeah, just you and piano and just, like, sing like the movies. And I was like, okay. He was like, I was in a recording session. He was like, you should go home and practice. I was like, okay. So I literally had, like... I didn't have time to be stressed about it. It was just
that's
like...
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, and I like also didn't allow myself to believe that I was actually going on Jimmy Kimmel the next morning. Yeah. So I was just like sitting in this weird like in-between, like not like having to practice, but also like not letting myself indulge too much. But then again, I knew I'd like be able to go on a couple of weeks later.
Right.
But... It was a really wonderful story. It was very cool.
How was the experience? Like, did you get a lot of reactions afterwards? And
yeah, I mean, it was really cool. I think the biggest thing it did, one of the bigger things it did for me was introduce me to Iceland.
Yeah.
Icelanders.
That's true. Yeah.
That was Icelandic media.
Yeah, that was like the first time I think a lot of people heard of my name in Iceland. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, like Jimmy Kimmel.
I love it when Icelanders do things abroad. We're very excited.
Yeah. No, and I'm like, I feel so much hometown pride, like being an Icelander and being able to like represent my country like that as well. But no, it's so funny. And like to this day, like people ask me like, how did that happen? Like, as if I like won some lottery or some competition or something to do it. Cause it seems so random for a lot of people.
I mean, it's a great story.
And then it just like came.
But
But you also, I've just been working on the project abroad, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you have also like attracted attention from like Willow Smith and, well, and Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish.
I barely know who this Willow Smith is. I only know it from her father, sorry to say. But Billie Eilish is, of course, absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool.
How is that? I mean, why is... I didn't get the context of this even. Like, did she just post a link to your song or something like that?
Oh, for Billie Eilish, I just decided for the first time in my life to sing a song that was not made 100 years ago. Everyone was like, you should do a cover of this song. That Billie's song was called My Future.
Yeah.
And it sounded really jazzy. Yeah, so I was like, oh, I can definitely do this. It's such a beautiful song. So I did a version of it with and recorded all these harmonies and stuff. Just posted on my Instagram and she reposted it.
Yeah. I mean, it's super exciting. Like, you're obviously attracting like all of this attention and as a result, you're now looking at, you know, you're releasing this debut album. You've had an EP out before.
Yeah.
But this album, it's just, like you mentioned, is Everything I Know About Love. Is coming out later this month, the 26th of August.
Yes.
And I've had a chance to listen to it. We wrote about it for our latest issue. It's very good. I'm very impressed. But I mean, tell us a little bit about the process of one of the things that struck me when I listened to this album compared to some of your previous stuff, I feel like, you know, you're still very young and you're coming into the music industry, but there's something about this album that feels quite mature. It feels like you're really kind of coming into your own. Is that something that you felt as a theme as you started to record or write these songs?
Definitely. I mean, my EP was truly some of the first songs I've ever written.
Right.
Like the Movies was the first like traditional kind of jazz form song that I've written. Which is crazy now thinking about it. But I didn't really dare to write music growing up because I was like, I don't know, I didn't believe in myself enough. And I thought that wasn't like really for me. I felt like such a player, not a creator.
Right.
Of music. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until the pandemic really started that I started writing. So my EP is displaying some of my very first songs. And and this album is... I've just matured a lot as a writer and kind of learned more about, you know, how to decipher my feelings and you know, put it into something tangible like songs and also just upon like doing more research and listening more, I've like just developed more of like the sound that I want to have as an artist, style. Like my own artist identity. Like with the EP, I was still kind of figuring out how to, you know, put jazz into this modern context. And I think I was a little bit scared of going too far into some sort of old sound without a lot of modern production, because I was scared that it wouldn't appeal to the modern ear, and especially to the younger generation, which I'm ultimately trying to get to, because
That's
my goal is to really introduce this music to a young generation. I mean, of course...
And how did you manage to find... do you feel like you found some middle road here? Or?
Definitely, yeah. Well, I mean, the older generation, like, I already knew that would be, for me, like, an easier crowd to break into, just because... Well, I feel very much like an old soul. I've always felt like it's easier to talk to like older people, and I know I already know they have an appreciation for that kind of music.
Yeah. Sure.
What really excites me is like this younger generation, this Gen Z, if you call it, the TikTok generation.
Yep.
And I think it's so exciting, and also just introducing my music to this audience. They're really taking to it, which is really, really exciting. This is like such an open generation.
Yeah.
You know, like they'll listen to anything.
Yeah.
And do you feel, you know, in this, like with introducing this genre and this type of music, you know, what's the kind of reaction to that? Do you think people are ready for a change from the current brand of popular music? Not to say that that's good or bad, but it's definitely quite homogenous at the moment.
Dominating in some ways.
Do you think there's an appetite for different genres of music to start becoming mainstays?
I definitely think so. I really, really do. Like, I believe it very deep in my heart. Just through seeing, like, on TikTok, for example, like, for music these days to, like, really go far, like, TikTok is almost always a large component of that.
Yes.
And the music that's popular on TikTok, like, you can't see these, like, old jazz standards.
Yeah, right.
Or, like, even, like, classical pieces or film scores or stuff, like, keep on coming, shooting back, you know,
it's 50, incredible, 60, actually.
70 years later.
Yeah.
Just because some kids found it on TikTok and decided to make, like, a trend about it or something.
Yeah.
And, like, these kids have the palette for it, which is, like, so exciting. And the thing about the modern music industry, to me, is, like, it's no longer being split as much by genre as it was before. It's not like you're walking into a record store or a CD store and you're like going to your genre of choice.
Like, you have to make a choice.
Exactly.
With like what you
buy.
Yeah,
you physically have to go to. Whereas like now music is split by feeling, by mood.
Yes.
By vibe.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's like, that's all that I feel like my generation really cares about. Like, when we turn on a playlist,
that's so interesting.
Go somewhere, we're not looking for, like, pop music or bossa nova music. We're looking for music to listen to on a picnic in the summer on a summer's day.
And this is how playlists are even named now.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, I opened my Spotify account yesterday when I was walking home from work, and the first playlist that came up was Point of View, You're a Cuddly Blanket, and I was like, I don't know what music this is, but I want to listen to it. it's very, like you say, there's this kind of vibe or atmosphere.
Well, it's like if you're walking home and it's raining, you just like walk home in the rain.
Yeah,
and then it's probably going to be a mix of some sort of cozy new songwriter, you know, with like maybe like a Chet Baker track way long ago. And like, so that's so lovely to me. Like, I think that's the best progression in the music industry so far. And
it's
capitalizing
interesting.
On it.
So how about this then? If you were going to give us a playlist vibe for your new album, what's the kind of,
what's the name of
cozy
it?
Name for this album?
Oh, I mean, so many would work, I would say.
Well, first of all, I think the title is actually brilliant.
Yes.
Everything I Know About Love is a very beautiful and cool title.
Thank you.
So I would actually go for that playlist.
You would just go for that.
Yeah, it's a fun playlist. Well, I was talking to my producer. I was like, oh, yeah, like Everything I Know About Love. I was like, I actually don't really know anything about love, but I would love to do a song where we list up all these things that I've been told about love, but I haven't been able to experience.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, this kind of works as the title for the album, because what is this album but a list of things that I know about love? And
reading, I encourage our listeners to read the track by track, actually. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yes, yeah, so this is an article that we did in the recent issue of the paper with Loive, where she explains each track on the album.
Exactly, and the one that caught my eye was the one when you were in the train and saw this cute boy, but somehow he it was a glance, but
beautiful stranger.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It was such a casual moment, but everybody has been there, you know.
Yeah.
Misconnection.
Misconnection, yeah. Or just, you know, over romantic, hopeless romantic. Yeah, I mean, I write very, very honestly. Like, everything that I put out is just directly from my journal or from my head. And I'll definitely, like, exaggerate a very small encounter into an entire song, but I think it's fun.
I mean, that is the talent of a writer. I think we're going for like a missed connection, lonely on a train.
But somehow there is hope in the air.
There's hope in the air. That's a playlist that I would listen to.
That is the playlist of my life, I think.
You are also one of these secret romantics at heart, Valid.
Well, yeah, I'm an Icelandic.
Yeah.
I'm known to be very romantic. You know?
Somewhat. Loive, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Really lovely to chat to you. And we would really encourage everyone to go and pre-save the album. There's a single out already, which is
Four singles out.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, we'll have links to all of that in the podcast description. And we will link as well to the articles in the paper.
And just if you want to go straight to Spotify after this, or you're listening to Spotify perhaps, then it's Laufe, which is L-A-U-F-E and Y.
Very confusing.
I know.
I don't know.
Icelandic.
But I got the trademark. It again and again. I got the trademark, so I think, you know.
But they can never spell anything. It's like, my name is always V-A-L-O-R, like a Valor.
Valor.
Yeah, it's like...
Very just,
yeah, go. They just don't get it.
the non-Icelanders. Yeah. My goodness. Well, thank you again for coming on Laufe. We're really excited for the album, and I'm sure we'll be keeping up to date with whatever you do next.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and that's all for us this week on the Icelandic Roundup. Please do remember to rate and review. It makes a huge difference to other people finding the podcast.
Well, mostly for Josie, though.
It's mostly for my ego. So nice things only. And anything to add, Valor?
Not really. Okay. Be careful and watch out for the weather forecast.
Be careful of the weather. Okay. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Goodbye. Okay.